hot all day because almost the whole time we were climbing at the top of the clouds, and so we got that convection, and it was nuclear hot, and as a result, we had a little more rockfall than we would have liked.
Sounds from Mount Everest, which is seeing the biggest gridlock in memory. 300 climbers, Sherpas, guides lined up along the ropes attempting to summit. One Sherpa saying, "This is the first time I've ever seen it like this." We have video at hereandnow.org of what looks like a line of ants crossing the mountain, a backlog that's made this one of the deadliest climbing seasons since the notorious 1996 Into Thin Air year, when 15 people lost their lives. So far this month, 11 people are said to have died on the world's tallest mountain. That includes deaths on the North Slope in China. We want to start here today with Grayson Schaefer, senior editor at Outside Magazine, who's at base camp on Everest. Grayson, why is this backlog happening?
Well, I think, you know, this year you have a sort of perfect storm of weather where the climbing season ended up being pushed back later into the season. The summit windows are happening later in the season than they normally do, and you have more climbers than you normally do. So you basically have a larger number of people trying to fit into a smaller number of weather windows where the jet stream is not right over the summit of the mountain, so the winds are calm enough and the weather is nice enough for people to make summit bids. There are so many people that you end up with these traffic jams where people are waiting, you know, up to 3.5 hours, I've heard from one guide, you know, trying to use these fixed lines to get up the mountain.
Well, and they're climbing later in the day than they normally would. And we understand some are total novices who have to be shown how to put on crampons. And you wrote about a Turkish New Yorker who arrived wanting to bring his bike up to the summit. Now, this comes as a surprise to people who think you have to qualify to climb Mount Everest. You have to summit, you know, other things, and you have to get a permit to go up.
You do have to get a permit. But, yeah, I mean, the idea that there's some sort of, you know, resume that you absolutely need to build is sort of a misnomer. You know, most of the reputable Western outfitters will want you to have climbed, you know, some tall mountain on another continent like Denali or Aconcagua. But in recent years, there are a lot of local outfitters and some Western outfitters that really will allow anybody to climb if they've got the cash to do it. It can be done. It's just that, you know, when things go wrong, people who don't have experience have very little to fall back on, you know, when they're in trouble, and that's where the problems begin.
Since there are so many people trying to summit, what does that feel like in base camp? What does that feel like in the mountain? I mean, it's glorious, we know, to be there, but what else does it feel like because of this incredible moment?
Well, I think, you know, there's definitely a bit of tension in camp. You know, people need to work together, but at the same time, if one team waits through a nice summer window while another team, you know, or another dozen teams climb, the teams that wait end up potentially missing their summit window. So there's a little bit of tension, there's a little bit of competition, I think, but mostly I get the sense that the guides and the outfitters want to work together, because if they work together, they get more people to the top safely and have fewer of these unfortunate tragedies.
Well, is there anger, I'm wondering, at these people who are attempting to summit and may not know what they're doing? I mean, the guy with the bike went up without his Sherpa and without his bike. He made it to the summit, but on the way back, he had to be rescued by his Israeli teammate, who gave up his summit bid in order to rescue the Turkish New Yorker to bring him back down. By the way, we have some photos, thanks to you, at our website. But is there any anger, you know, from the really experienced climbers at these people who don't really know what they're doing?
The anger and the resentment tends to sort of be indirect and, you know, sort of at night in camp, you know, especially when these climbers get into trouble. It's incumbent upon the experienced climbers to rescue them. You know, even if they want to go for their summit bids, the sort of general ethic in climbing is that you have to stop and help someone if you can offer some assistance. And, you know, in past years, we've seen controversies and scandals emerge when climbers have been foundering and it turns out, you know, have later died, and whole teams of people have walked past them and done nothing to help.
Well, but then there was the Canadian woman who died last weekend. Her fellow climbers urged her to turn around. She seemed to be in trouble. She couldn't even speak anymore, but she signaled that she wanted, you know, aggressively that she wanted to keep going. She did summit, but on the way down, she ran out of oxygen. She had gone through, I think you reported, something like 9 canisters of oxygen, you know, collapsed and died. People are calling for banning that supplemental oxygen or getting rid of the professional guides so that the mountain returns to the seasoned climber. Do you think those calls are now going to gain momentum?
You know, there are incidents, if not at this scale, there are incidents like this every year, and there are those same calls every year. And, you know, I think in general, it's a tough call because there are certainly reputable outfitters who screen their clients very carefully and who climb the mountain and guide the mountain safely every year. And then there are some fly-by-night outfitters that routinely have problems. You know, the ironic thing is that the more people die, the more people want to climb it. And the amount of money that we're talking about here, anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 to $80,000 to climb with a Western outfitter, there's so much money on the table that it would be very unlikely for the Nepalese government to curtail the number of people climbing.
Yeah. And so, Grayson Schaefer, the problem this year is this window of opportunity, everybody rushing to try their summit in this window of opportunity. You say there's another one coming up?
Yeah, there's another one right now. And in fact, we just got off the radio with one of the teams, with Dave Hahn, who's another one of our outside riders, who's summited 13 times. He's at the South Col right now with his team. And he believes that maybe between 80 and 120 people are going to try and summit tonight. And he and his base camp manager were on the radio trying to sort of game out their strategy for how to avoid the crowds and make a safe summit bid and get back down to Camp 4 at about 26,000 feet tomorrow afternoon, if they're lucky, hopefully.
Unbelievable. With all the things you have to think about in climbing, now crowd control. Grayson Schaefer, senior editor at Outside Magazine at base camp of Mount Everest, with a huge gridlock going on there. Grayson, thanks so much for talking to us.
Okay.